morning. Faith, faith, faith. Some of you are here this morning because you have faith in this church. Amen. You have faith in the knowledge of God's presence in this place. And you know that great and awesome things are going to happen in this church. You have that faith down in your spirit and knowing what God is going to do. And you see, faith is the most important part of our foundation of the Christian life. And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning and find out how that affects us if we don't walk in faith. Faith is the pathway that leads us to victory and overcoming power in God's kingdom here on this earth. And so everything that we do, we need to walk in faith. And there have been Christians for the last many centuries who have tried to live life without faith. And let me just tell you right now, they failed. Because as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, you cannot be successful in this life without faith. Without faith. If you don't have faith, then you're always going to remain in bondage or defeat or lack or sickness or disease or even confusion if you don't have faith. So this morning, let's take a step forward and begin to realize what the Scripture teaches us about faith and apply it to our lives. See, it's one thing about the Word of God. If we just hear it, don't do anything about it, then it's worthless. It doesn't do anything for us. So let's purpose in our hearts this morning that we're going to allow the Word of God to strengthen our faith. Now, one principle that we really need to understand today, and I've used this passage many, many times in preaching over the years, but if we are going to live and move and have our being in God's kingdom, we must live by faith. We must. It's not an option. We must live by faith. And this is God's command, not mine. So let's look over here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now I know all of these verses are going to be familiar to many of you. But again, if you hear them and you don't use them, you don't put them into action, then they're not doing you any good. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Let's read that again. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The writer of Hebrews says the just shall live by faith. It's also declared three different occasions by the Apostle Paul in his writings. And it's even over in the Old Testament. A word from God. A word from God that brings stability and provision in your life. The just shall live by faith. So do you think that this might be a foundational truth that we need to put into practice? The just shall live by faith. Don't you think it might be beneficial to you if you walk in faith? Simply because God takes great pleasure in your life when you walk by faith. Wouldn't that be great to know that you're bringing God pleasure? Because you're walking in faith? What about the corporate body, we together as River of Life Church? Don't you think it might be important that we stand together in unity with our faith when we're trusting God for everything for this church? You see, is it right for individuals to sit back and lean to their own understanding and not exercise their faith when the rest of us as a church are trying to stand in faith for the future of this church. You see, it's our responsibility individually to stand in faith in this church so that corporately together we can get things done. We can see great progress take over in this church instead of walking in failure like so many churches do. What are you believing for this church individually? What we believe individually ought to be able to come together corporately, because when we are corporate in our belief, in our faith, then we are powerful. There's so many things that God wants to do in this church, but we are not standing in faith. We are not trusting God to do what God intends to do. And God's going to do it anyway, but we are going to miss out on it. You say, well, how's that possible? Well, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You can sit right in the middle of the glory of God with all the people around you enjoying the fruit of that glory and you not be able to receive anything. You'll miss it if you don't exercise your faith. And this is one of the interesting things about God and His kingdom. Everything that we receive from God is by faith. When people ask me about different things, you know, well, I know God promised this, but I'm just not getting it. I'm not receiving it. Well, that forces me to ask him, well, where's your faith? And of course, automatically they'll tell me, oh, I stand in faith. Then why are you asking me this question then? Because if you're standing in faith, you shouldn't be asking it. You should be walking in the provisions of God. You see, it's important that you and I work not only individually in receiving from God by faith, but that we work corporately so that we can see the vision of this church fulfilled. So we need to start believing together for God to fill this church. We're working on it. But we got a lot of empty seats here this morning. But you and I can stand together in faith, trusting God that these seats will be filled. I'm believing that they're going to be filled by the 27th of this month. And the thing is, it's because I'm asking people to come do this. But I also want people to see that it's possible that we can all get here on the same day. And if we can all get here on the same day, then why not? Why don't we make it a regular weekly thing? Amen? You see, with God, all things are possible. Now, if we're going to stand in faith, where do we put our faith? If we're going to stand in faith, where do we put our faith? So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Paul writes, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, did you hear what Paul said? Because I have to remind you again, it's one thing to hear the Bible being read, but it's another thing to listen and get it down into your spirit, because it has to be down in your spirit, down in your heart, for it to bring change in your life. So what is Paul saying? He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. In other words, I'm not asking man for nothing. I'm not quoting anything that man has to say, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And did you hear that? Did you listen to what Paul said? You and I today should be demonstrating what we say in the power of the Holy Spirit. That means that if we've just shared some truth with someone about healing, then we should follow up with a demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. And most Christians don't do that. In fact, most Christians are still sitting back saying, well, I haven't learned how to do that yet. I haven't learned how to do that yet. Paul didn't say that. He didn't say, I had to learn all of this. You see, it should be natural for us as children of God to operate in power and the Holy Spirit. That means if we have just shared some truth with Healy, then demonstrate it. And that means all of us, not just the pastor, not just Daniel or Mike or maybe some visiting evangelist or pastor comes to our church. No, it means all of us. That's the way the kingdom of God is supposed to work. We're not supposed to just sit idly by and let all of these opportunities go by us. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 5, he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Again, did you hear what he said? Are you listening to what Paul is saying here? Your faith and my faith is not supposed to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, you know what we have a tendency to do as church members? We find somebody that prays for the sick and they have some people get healed. And so we don't want anybody else praying for us except that one person. And actually what we're actually doing is putting our trust in man and not in God. In fact, some of your greatest opportunities will come from somebody that you didn't ever know could pray for the sick. And the bottom line is that we are all capable of praying for the sick and seeing them recover. Those are the words of Jesus. He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He didn't say lay hands on the sick if you are an apostle or if you are a preacher or if you are an evangelist. No, he was talking to his disciples. In fact, they hadn't even become apostles yet. But he's saying all things are possible if you walk in faith, if you believe. And it is. It's all possible if we will believe. And you see, the church has revealed a weakness to the world. A weakness when we demonstrate to the world that we cannot pray for the sick, that we cannot see people healed. And why do the people of this world need a church then? I mean, if we can't demonstrate the power of God, why would anybody want to come here anyway? Because the world is so full of people right now with so many needs, and yet they cannot find places to teach them and to help them understand how these needs can be met. And the bottom line is they're all going to be met by faith. By faith. If you can receive the revelation of this statement, it'll set you free. And your life will be altered by faith. And you see, we have to get out of the limitations of our own wisdom and the wisdom of this world and step off the cliff where you're out there where if God doesn't come through, it's not going to happen. But I'll tell you right now, that's where God works, is when you're falling off the cliff and you can't do anything about it except trust God. And so every one of you, including myself, need to take the opportunities to step off that cliff in every situation and trust God. And don't worry about, well, are they going to be healed, or, you know, do I know enough to do this, or am I spiritual enough, or whatever. That, you know, None of that is taken into account by God. God says the just shall live by faith. And so everything that we do, we are to step out in faith and trust God. Have our faith in His power and His Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, that's where the real power is. The real power. And God will not demonstrate His power for anyone unless faith prepares a place for His power to work. Now, I want to repeat that, and I want to make sure that you get this. God will not demonstrate His power unless faith prepares a place for His power to work. You want the power of God to work in your life? Then you walk in faith. Because when you've established that faith in your life, then God is free to demonstrate His power, not only in your life, but through your life. Now, let me give you an example of this. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Beginning in verse 32. This is one of my favorite passages. Acts chapter 9, 32. Now, it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. Do you think he was in a bad shape? Pretty bad condition. 8 years, bedridden, paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And then he arose immediately, and so all who dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, Christians in the 21st century wisdom of the church would, you know, do the thing that most churches do. They would reach out to him and try to make him comfortable. They'd get best doctors to examine him, to take care of him. They'd provide around-the-clock care if he needed it. And then they would teach him how to lead the best life that he could for the condition that he was in. And most churches will not even attempt to pray for someone like this, because they know it's futile, because they have no faith. But that's not what Peter did. Not even close. Peter looks at this crippled man who's been bedridden for 8 years, and he sees an opportunity to exercise his faith. And so he, in his spirit, he has prepared a place by his faith for the power of God to work. And you say, well, how did he do that? I don't know what he said to himself on the inside, but it ought to be something like this. Man, this is an opportunity for God to release His power. I know that God can heal this man. I know that God can raise this man up. And you see, that is preparing that place for God to come and move in power. But Scripture does not say that Peter laid hands on this man. Scripture does not say that he prayed a prayer for this man. In fact, Scripture doesn't even say that he taught the man to help build up his faith. No, it says that Peter simply made a declaration. Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Now get up and move your bed. And immediately, the man was healed. Now, is that stepping off a cliff? He didn't care what the results were going to be. In fact, he didn't even think, well, what if I fail? You know, what if the guy just lays there? What am I going to do? You see, that's not faith. If you bring that immediately into your spirit and you go and you don't deal with it, you don't cast it down in Jesus' name, then you might as well save your words, because nothing's going to happen. But see, we have to get beyond that place of worrying about what we're going to look like. And that's why so many people fail when it comes to walking in the power of God, because they're so concerned about what other people are going to think about me if they don't get healed. You know, what are they going to be talking about me saying that I failed or that I thought I was something and I'm not? And you know, we get all caught up in all of this trash when it really makes no difference whatsoever. If I step out there in faith and that man doesn't get healed, it's not my fault. It's God's responsibility. The minute I stand in faith and I step out in faith, it's God's responsibility. Amen? And so we have to get beyond all of this and just learn how simply to trust God. See, Peter didn't do anything but believe what Jesus taught him. He believed what Jesus taught him, because his faith stood in the power of God. And that's true faith. Most of you have been in church long enough and you've heard enough teaching about faith that you ought to be standing in faith. You ought to be living in faith. And let me tell you, it doesn't take that much teaching for someone to learn about faith. In fact, there's really just about six scriptures in the New Testament, after you get past the book of Acts, that talk about faith. Because faith is really easy to acquire, and yet it's so powerful when we learn how to walk in it. You see, this was a demonstration of the power of God's kingdom by the Holy Spirit. Had nothing to do with Peter or his ministry or who people thought he was. It's all about God. And this demonstration of the power of God was so powerful that in Acts chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "Then all of the inhabitants of Lydda and the plain of Sharon saw what happened to this cripple, and they turned to the Lord." Now, is that a work of evangelism or what? I don't know how many people that consisted of, but two geographical areas probably had quite a few people. And they knew, were acquainted with this man, that he had been a cripple for 8 years. And this is kind of like the man that was laying at the gate called Beautiful when Peter and John came by and spoke the word to him. You see, that's the purpose in all of it. It's not to build you up to look great in the world so you can go to all these places and demonstrate the power of God or, you know, become important, self-important. No, it's about evangelism. People seeing the power of God and the love of God that He has for people. You see, this is the power of faith that is at work. The question is, can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you trust that God can do the same thing through you? Well, without faith, it'll never happen. But with faith, it's an absolute. I'm not going to say it might be possible, because it's more than might be possible. It's an absolute. You can do it if you trust God. You see, faith is not just important for our life of declaring the kingdom of God, but Scripture says that if we don't walk in faith, then it's sin. You know, so many Christians nowadays think they're so holy, but yet they don't realize how much sin they're still walking in because they don't know the Word of God. Paul reveals this little nugget of truth in his teaching the Roman church about the eating of things that are unclean. Now remember, these people in the Roman church were still struggling with the law. They were coming out of the old covenant into the new covenant. But we don't have to worry about any of that because we've never been under the old covenant. We're not under the law today. But still, a part of Paul's teaching here is applicable to us. It applies to us. And so let's look at it here in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I'm just going to read the second part of this verse because this is all that applies to us today. Paul says that for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now when God said that the just shall live by faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin, then we had better wake up and pay attention. Because God's talking to us. Everything that we receive and do comes from God, dependent on our faith. Dependent on our faith. Now let's look at Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I'm going to read the whole thing this time out of the Amplified Version. Romans 14, 23. But the man who has doubts, misgivings, an uneasy conscience about eating, and then eats perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God because he is not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful. In other words, we are to do what we do by faith. And we do it because we have a conviction that this is what God wants us to do. And this is part of the problem that I see with Christians today. They're not totally convicted that they can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And why are they not convinced? Because they don't have any faith. And faith is not something that you go out here and take it out of your closet and put it on like a coat. Faith is not a prescription medication that you take out of a bottle and you swallow it. No, faith is an absolute decision that you believe God and that you believe that nothing is impossible for God and that you believe that God wants to work through you to touch the lives of other people. That's when it becomes true faith because you've come to a conviction that this is God's will for your life. Now let's look at a subject right now that God is really calling every church to, and especially our church, because we've been talking about it. And it's called evangelism. Evangelism. Is evangelism a call from God? Does God want us to evangelize? All right, great. So we got that established. It's in the Scripture. Jesus said, go therefore into all of the nations. Go. Who's he talking to? You. You is the understood subject of this sentence. You go into all of the nations. And if we step into this calling by faith, what do you think will happen? We'll see people saved. We'll see results because God has said it, We have come under conviction that God has said it to us, and so we just simply step into it. We step off that cliff, and we begin to tell people about Jesus. And like I've told you before, you don't have to go out there with your Bible under your hand and start beating them on the head with it and telling them scripture about them going to hell and all of this stuff. You simply go and strike up a conversation with them and begin to just passively tell them about what God has done in your life. And sometimes it takes several applications or different times of talking to these people, but eventually they will come, and they'll come under a conviction by the Spirit of God. And that's when Jesus can come into their lives. So you see, what happens if we choose not to step into this calling? Then Scripture says we'll be guilty of sin. We'll be guilty of sin. God has asked us to do something that will require our faith, and we refuse to do it. And as far as God is concerned, that's sin. Do you understand that? Because it's important that we understand this. Now, do you think that your faith then might be tested? You better believe it. Absolutely, it'll be tested. Let's go toward the back of the Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, verse 3. James 1, verse 3. Be assured and understand. Be assured. In other words, he's saying, look, this is real. And so it's important that you understand this. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Now, if you know anyone who is strong in faith, you'll also know that they have had times in their life where their faith was tested. That's just the way it works. That's just the way God works in His kingdom. And a time of testing is not always comfortable. Isn't it amazing, especially we as Americans, we want everything comfortable. Well, let me tell you, if we slip up here and end up in hell, hell is not going to be comfortable. So instead of worrying about being so comfortable here, we ought to start, you know, worrying about the eternal things. Where am I going to actually end up in eternity? So you see, we need to strengthen our spirit and prepare for these times that we know that we're going to be tested. Be ready for it when it comes. And then face the test head on. Even speak to it. I know you were coming, and I know you're here right now, and I'm still going to be standing when you leave. I will not move off my faith. Sometimes you can stand in the mirror and talk to yourself that way. I'm not going to quit. Devil wants me to quit, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to stand on my faith and see what I'm trusting God for. And you see, if God has promised it, then we need to believe it, and we take a stand no matter what. No matter what, nothing is going to move us. And that's the proper reaction. And that is the reaction that God is looking for in our lives. Now, while you're waiting on your faith or your belief to be proven, God is able to work patience in your life at the same time. Patience. We don't want to learn patience either, because learning patience is usually painful. So just leave me out of that part, Lord. Let me tell you, God doesn't play let's make a deal. That's not his favorite game. I also want you to, in your pilgrimage of faith, I want you to learn how to encourage young Christians how to walk in faith. You see, most of us, if we've been saved over 2 or 3 years, we ought to be mentors of young Christians, teaching them how to walk and how to stand in faith. But so many of us are still stumbling around in the darkness trying to find our faith. And God wants us to grow up, become the children of faith that He's called us to be, that Jesus saved us to be. And we ought to be standing with these young Christians. I say young Christians, there's a lot of older people that get saved. They're young in the Lord. So no matter where they are in age, as far as physical standards go, we need to be there for them in the spirit realm to help them and to encourage them to stand and to declare their victory until they can see their victory. Remember, faith is calling those things that are not as though they are. And that's one of the truths that so many Christians have not, laid hold of yet. It's calling those things that are not as though they are. Calling them. We're going to look at another verse that talks about seeing, but this is calling those things that are not as though they are. Everything we do in the kingdom of God revolves around our choices that we make. And so are we going to believe God or not? What are we going to choose to do in this situation? Are we going to believe God or are we not going to believe Him? We see these are the kind of choices that we shouldn't even be considering. If we come into a situation, then immediately we need to stand up and trust God. Trust God. Stand in faith in the midst of it. And that's the only way that you're going to see the victory that you need. Now, another important area of our faith is accessing our justification. Accessing our justification. Justified means to be acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. Let me repeat that. Justification, or being justified, means that you are acquitted of your sin, declared righteous, even though you may not feel righteous, and given a right standing with God. Through Jesus Christ, we've been justified by what Jesus did on the cross and through His resurrection. We are justified. That is the foundation of our salvation. We are justified in Christ Jesus. Justified. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't get out here and work real hard so that one day we might be justified. No, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are justified. And by faith, we need to start accessing that justification. We need to start believing and living like we are justified. We are in right standing with God. Paul declares that we must accept this justification by faith. By faith. For we have our access to this justification only through our faith. And Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed a tendency with Christians where they come up to a time in their life and they begin to doubt their salvation? or they begin to wonder, well, did God really forgive me of that sin? See, the enemy has found a little crack in your foundation. So he's going to begin to pour in that doubt and unbelief to move you off of your faith. And this is what Paul is talking about. Look, you don't have to worry about it if you understand this by faith. You have been justified. You are in right standing with God, so you don't need to worry about it anymore. You should not spend one second in your life worrying about whether God forgave you of a sin or not. Did God say, if you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you of those sins? Sometimes. No, he didn't say that. But yet we allow the enemy to bring us to that place in our lives where we doubt what God has said he's already done. Now, he just went on and said, if you're faithful and just to, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, when God cleanses you, you are clean. That means that nothing, there's not nothing left of it. Not one little remnant is left of it. And so we need to quit allowing the enemy to put doubt and unbelief and confusion in our lives over past sin. And you see, this is the most difficult thing about faith. It's a part of faith, but it has to be trained in our spirit. It has to be trained in our spirit. You see, anyone with eyes can see, can look at something and see it. They can look at it and see it. And this brings me to our next, or our final look at faith. Seeing things. Seeing things by faith. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's read it again. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So if we look at something that we can see with our eyes, we can see it, right? Unless you're blind. But to look at nothing and to still see what you're believing for is supernatural. Have you ever tried this aspect of faith? I mean, in your spirit, you can see what you're trusting God for. But your physical eyes can't see nothing. It's blank. But you see, the realm that God wants us to live in and walk in is the supernatural. And that's totally opposite of the way the world wants us to respond to things. And so how many times does God need to tell us, look, you're in the world, but you're not of this world. So quit trying to live in the natural ways. Quit trying to live in the flesh. All of that was supposed to be put to death. You're supposed to be looking and seeing and walking in the supernatural. God wants us to see these invisible things, and they will never pass away. The things that we see will last for eternity if we learn how to see with our spiritual eyes in faith. And that's why we call faith seeing the invisible and believing for the impossible. That ought to be put on your refrigerator. Seeing the invisible and believing for the impossible. That's faith. What a life that God has called us to live. The just shall live by faith. And everything that I've been preaching this whole year is only accessible if you live by faith. If you live by faith. And that's why at times I hear people griping and complaining when things are going wrong and not working in their favor. They've heard the truth, but the truth has not set them free because they haven't heard it by faith. They've not received it into their spirit by faith. They're not really trusting God, even though they say, I'm trusting God, they're not. Because I don't know what it would take to hammer into our brains, but anything that we trust God for is going to come about. Because that's the way that God works. And so we have to absolutely not allow any unbelief to come into the situation. And it's a difficult life to live at times. Because we do. We get weak and we allow unbelief to come in. So you see, it takes spiritual effort to walk in faith. And we will never, ever acquire faith by walking in the flesh. It just won't happen. God has a whole kingdom that we can access right now, today, if we will walk by faith. God has victories in your life today if you can walk in faith. God's glory will manifest in this church and in our lives if we will just walk by faith. And God's glory will be declared to the nations if we will just walk by faith. See, I'm looking forward to the day when we all walk in here together and we're all in one accord and we're all standing in faith, believing that God's glory is going to be poured out in this place. And you see, it can happen. It can happen. But we have to stand in faith, trusting God for it. Can you pour out God's glory on your own? No. Can we tell God we're standing in faith and pour out your glory, Lord, when we're really not standing in faith? No. Doesn't work that way. But everything that we need for this church, if we can stand together in unity and faith, God will do it. God will do it. I was thinking the other day, you know, I would love to have a bigger building in a visible place. That would be great. But God doesn't need that. God doesn't need that. God can take what we have right here and reveal himself, and we'll have more people than we know what to do with. And it'll happen if we stand in faith, trusting God. Amen? So the just shall live by faith. The just. Those who have been justified in Christ Jesus and who live in faith. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, that there is power in your word. And Father, when we go forth in your word, declaring your word, there is a power for signs and wonders to follow, because that's what your word says. And so, Father, we're just trusting you for the signs and the wonders. Father, I can't make any sign or wonder happen, and neither can anyone else in here. But Lord, the power is in you, not in anything else. And so, Father, by faith, by trusting, by believing in you, we believe your word that says the signs and wonders will follow. So, Lord, we want to just give you praise for everything that you're doing in this church. That you be glorified in the midst of it, Father. And that we be faithful. That we be faithful in the things of your kingdom. Thank you for your love, and thank you for everything that you're doing, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything,